Welcome to the Inner Peace and Other Cool Shit podcast, the show that helps you find freedom from anxiety, overthinking, worry, and stress. I'm Siobhan Friel, a fellow human being, transformational coach, and your new friend. Come and hang out with me as we explore a whole new understanding of the human experience so you can enjoy life with more peace and ease. Hello, welcome back to the Inner Peace and Other Cool Shit podcast. Today, we're talking about thought again. We've mentioned thought a lot in the show so far, but mostly in a slightly deprecating way, I guess, talking about how thought relates to a bad feeling and how thought is that pesky thing which covers up our inner peace. But today, we're going to snuggle up to thought a bit more and get to know this incredible, astonishing power a little better. Yes, thought is a power. We'll aim to understand thought a bit more and through this understanding, see how it can be used to have a much nicer life, particularly if you experience a lot of anxiety, worry, overwhelm, stress, and overthinking. Sound good? Let's go. As a little recap, our whole lives are made of thought. Everything we experience is created by thought, as in brought to us via our thinking. Right now, if you're thinking, no, it's not. Well, your suspicion is created by your thoughts, and any reason you have will also be made of thought too. We experience our thinking, not the world. This is very cool indeed because it means that we don't need the world to be a certain way for us to experience peace, happiness, clarity, and all the nice feels. If you're new to the Inner Peace and Other Cool Shit podcast, well, first of all, hi and welcome. And second of all, you may like to listen to the first three episodes of the show for this to make a lot more sense. For everyone else, hello to you too, of course. But it's possible that you are at least curious about the implications of us humans living in an inside-out world. That is, where our entire experience of life is created by thought from the inside out. You may not see this for yourself yet, or you may see it in some areas but not others. That's totally cool. Just being open to the exploration is all I need from you right now. So, thought, huh? What's the dealio? I'm going to share a few one-liners that describe the role of thought from pioneers or leaders in this field to give you more of a feel for the role of thought in our life. From Dr. Judy Sedgman, we live in the experience of the reality we create with the power of our own thinking. From Michael Neal, we are living in the feeling of our thinking, not the feeling of the world. From Sydney Banks, thought is not reality, yet it is through thought that our realities are created. Another Sid one, our thoughts are the divine paintbrush we use to paint a picture of how we observe and relate to this reality we call life. And I'm going to throw in this one from eminent physicist David Bohm as well, because I just love it and it totally sums up our relationship to thought. Thought creates our world and then says, I didn't do it. Like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, it's kind of seemed like I've been talking about thought in previous episodes as the inhibitor of our nice feelings and the cause of our misery. It's like I've been dissing thought and blaming it for human suffering. Because I have been saying things like, don't pay attention to your thoughts in a low mood. Disregard the content of your thoughts. Thoughts are inherently meaningless, arbitrary and impersonal. And what you think is none of your business. Whoa, what a meanie. So it totally sounds like I'm being mean towards thought, huh? But that is not the way I mean it at all. Those statements refer to our individual, personal thinking. Some would call it ego, it doesn't really matter what we call it. It's our thoughts, once formed, Once the energy of thought has been filtered, which is just an illustration, through our complex layers of conditioning, belief, memories, experiences, all of that. Thought is not the problem. Our conditioning is not the problem. The only problem is our relationship to our conditioned thinking. And that's not a problem. Okay, let's get on with taking a big step back from that and looking at thought on a bigger level. So I'm talking about thought with a capital T, as in the energy of thought, rather than the little blobs of content that we think. So if you listen to the last episode, I talked about pizzas. Our little blobs of thinking content are the pizzas. And in this instance, the energy of thought is like a pantry with infinite supplies of all the possible ingredients in the world ever. The energy of thought, thought with a capital T, is without doubt the coolest tool in the entire fucking universe. Like any tool, it can help create amazing things, but the misuse of it can cause intense misery. And unfortunately, most of us humans are running around misusing thought like a gaggle of four-year-olds holding chainsaws. So here comes my next metaphor. The energy of thought is like water, and it takes the form of the environment that it pours or trickles into. Water takes different forms depending on the conditions of the environment, such as becoming steam when warmed or ice when cooled. Water will take the shape of the environment it's in. It can be in the shape of a glass, a vase, a dog bowl, a bottle, a plant pot. It can be in the shape of trillions of different things, literally infinite things, including novelty penis, if you have one of those ice cube trays, which I used to have when I lived in the UK. But it's still fundamentally water. When the water is in the shape of a novelty penis ice cube, it is still water and not a penis. An enormous part of this conversation that we're having on the Inner Peace and Other Cool Shit podcast is coming to see for ourselves that our thinking is the water. This is huge for anxiety and overthinking and worry and all of that, because those uncomfortable feelings come from mistaking water in the shape of a threat, let's say a gun, ice cube, right, for an actual gun. Our feeling of anxiety is there to alert us that we are mistakenly believing our thoughts are reality rather than the energy of thought taking temporary form. But us humans got the meaning of our feelings wrong, and we think that a feeling of anxiety is telling us that there is a gun, as in there is a threat. But the feeling of anxiety is actually telling us, hey, you're mistakenly believing that ice cube is a gun, as in, hey, you're mistakenly believing your thoughts are real right now. So where are you at with this? Can you see what I mean and how coming to see our bad feelings as warnings of trusting thought taking temporary form rather than a warning of a real bad thing is completely different and very, very freeing. Now, this is not something that I can just tell you and you get immediately. It needs to be seen for yourself. That's why there's more than one episode of the show. So if you aren't there, don't worry. Hang in there with me. So just in my lifetime, I've noticed that our collective attitude about thoughts has changed. And now we're all more open to thought being the thing that creates our feelings rather than the outside world. But we now think, not we like me, but humans generally, we now think that we need to change our thoughts to have better feelings. Change your thoughts, change your life, we're told. Your life is what your thoughts make it, we're told. We become what we think about, we're told. Whoa, now that is a lot of pressure on what we think. Well-meaning teachers and therapists are telling us to swap our thoughts for better thoughts, also known as limiting beliefs. But this is like melting the gun ice cube and pouring it into a heart-shaped ice cube or something. It's still just water. Coming to see the nature of thought for what it is changes our relationship to it, and we see that we don't need to swap our thoughts because they aren't harmful in the first place. The kind of conversation we're having around here is coming to see the water, not the shape of the ice cube. I'm going to share with you something which helped me enormously when it comes to understanding this power of thought that we all have. And it's the distinction between thought and thinking. The distinction between natural, effortless, thoughtless thought and learned, analytical, evaluating, judgment-filled thinking. Now, just listen to this bit kind of lightly. It's not meant as a tool or technique. We talked about those the last time. It's more of a noticing. Like when you think that daytime is broken and the sun needs fixing, but instead we just point out that it's nighttime. We make the distinction between night and day rather than breaking down the components of each and analysing which is which. As I've said on the show before, what matters is what you see for yourself around the stuff we're talking about and not just listening to what I say and taking that as the way things work. So with that in mind, just see what gives you a little ping inside. Ping. A little sense of, oh, yeah, that feels kind of true to me. Now there's no need to explain the ping or figure out what it means, none of that. Just see what pings and that's it. That's resonance. Something is connecting with you. Something feels true for you. Just notice that. That's all. And if you aren't getting any pings, that's also fine. So we live in a sea of thought, right? Our lives are entirely thought created. And whether or not you see this for yourself doesn't matter. As I said before, being open and curious is all that's required. Okay, so in this sea of thought that is our life, there's what I'm going to be calling natural, effortless, thoughtless thought, henceforth known as natural thought, and analytical, judging, comparing, and storytelling thought, which I'm going to abbreviate to learned thought. Now remember, this is just a distinction to notice and play with, and not a rule to be followed or a strategy to be implemented. So natural thought is, as you may guess, natural. We're born with this. This is how babies experience the world, and birds, and lions, and seahorses, and bears, and piglets, and lizards. Natural thought is how the power of thought is designed to be used. When we're experiencing natural thought, we don't even notice that we're thinking. We're just in the moment, also known as being in flow. Natural thought is when we just know something. We just know it. We don't need to think about it. We just know. Time takes on a new dimension, and we just feel nice. And that's if we even notice how we feel at all. Things are effortless, and situations which looked like a problem yesterday just don't seem a big deal at all. It's basically bloody lovely. We all have this naturally. This is our natural state. Effortless, peaceful, moving through life via natural thought. Then there's thinking as opposed to thought. What I'm calling learned thinking. That's just my term, okay? This is human-made and completely conditioned. We aren't born with this. We learn to think this way. But it's so invisible and pervasive, we don't realise that we've learned it, like a fish doesn't know that it's in water. Learned thinking is the narrator in our mind, our brain being a brain, constantly assessing, analysing, judging, comparing. Important point, this is not a bad thing. This is very cool. This is the amazing thing which has allowed us to create lots of incredibly complex structures and technology. It allows us to calculate the heights of buildings and build aeroplanes and map the human genome and all of that cool stuff. It's using the energy of thought in a different way, playing with it and moulding it through many layers of complex conditioning and calculations, whether knowingly or not. Again, I really want to stress this point. This type of thinking is not bad. It's helped us advance humanity, depending on what your metrics of advancement mean. Having access to natural thought and being able to use thought as learned thinking, like having both of those, is incredibly powerful. Now, the cool shit in this distinction is getting a feel for which type of thought, natural or learned, is the right tool for the job. Many of us are struggling because we're using learned thinking for most things, if not everything, rather than natural thought. It looks to me that this is because, one, we don't realise that natural thought is even there, or two, we don't trust it to get the job done, whatever the job seems to be. Learned thought is a powerful tool. We can set a desired outcome and it will come in and help us get there. Let's say you're having a dinner party. So learned thought would be useful to look through some recipes to find something that will be suitable for your very fussy guests. A dish that is paleo, vegan and gluten-free, if that's possible. Learned thought would be useful to calculate when to start preparing the dishes so that they're done by the time the guests come. Learned thought would be useful to convert the oven temperature in the recipe from Fahrenheit to Celsius. But learned thought is not a good tool to figure out how you'll handle it if two of the guests are arguing, or what you'll do if one of the guests tells a racist joke, or what you'll do if you trip over a discarded coat and spill wine on your guest's hair. That's because it's unknowable. The variables aren't known because it's only happening in your imagination. Analytical learned thought is awesome for planning for future things where the main variables are known. But so many of us suffer because we try and use analytical learned thought to solve for things which cannot be solved this way. Learned thought is the wrong tool for the job because the thing in question doesn't actually exist, or only a small bit of information is known, and or the thing in question is created by analytical thought, so trying to solve it with more of that thought just creates an enormous never-ending tangle. To use the tool thing, we can't hammer the hammer with the hammer. Let's look at some examples of what I mean by this. So these are some topics I've discussed with people in the last week or so, where they were innocently using analytical thought to solve them. So social anxiety, which is created by our projection of what might happen, as in it's not actually happening right now. Existential anxiety and life purpose, created from the premise that there is such a thing in the first place and we should have one, both of which are made up. Worrying that something will happen to ourselves, our kids or other kind of thing. This is nebulous, not happening and unknowable. And that we're not rich enough, pretty enough, smart enough, accomplished enough, created by our projections of what we think we'd feel if we reached this goal, which is always more than what we ever have, no matter how much we have. Like, it's always moving. Most of us are spending most of our time in learned, analytical thinking, when the best tool for the job is effortless, natural thought. There's nothing you need to do here. You don't need to figure anything out or change anything. Just take a curious look at what tool you're using for the job. Once I saw this distinction, it really helped me see when I was caught up in learned thinking rather than in the flow of natural thought. I could see when I was trying to analyse my way through a perceived situation where it just wasn't solvable through my analysis and thinking about it. This really helped me to drop it. Not all the time, but you know, enough. Now here is the coolest thing. We have a special built-in, 100% reliable, in-the-moment feedback system to help us see when we are misusing, intentionally or not, learned analytical thought. It's called our feelings. Our feelings let us know when we're using learned analytical thought for the wrong job. Consider this. Consider if the misery of the world could be explained by this one simple thing. What if all of our suffering was simply the misunderstanding of the feedback system? What if our experiences of anxiety, stress, worry, overwhelm, insecurity, sadness, doubt, and all the others was only ever telling us that we are mistakenly trying to solve a problem with the wrong tool? What if our bad feeling was simply saying, put down your analysis and rumination and figuring out, dear human, there's a better tool for this job, which will automatically shine through when you drop your current tool? I'd love you to explore this yourself, using your feelings as a guide to your thought tool usage. Next time you're feeling any kind of shit, consider that you're mistakenly misusing the cool tool of thought. Drop the one you're using and just hang out until natural thought guides you through. Now, I get a lot of pushback from clients at this point, claiming that it's far too simple to work this way. But what if we just made up that it had to be complicated? Like, who said? Who said it had to be complicated? If you're feeling suspicious or scornful at this right now, then I totally get that, because I was too. But hey, wouldn't it be very fucking cool if it was this simple? It's worth taking a little peek, don't you think? Okay, quick note on this. It may seem like I'm saying that once we get this, we're going to live a life of peace and joy, and we won't get caught up in overthinking or worry. Sorry, no. I'll tell you that the last time I was caught up in a bit of a thought storm was about 2 hours ago, because I have a human brain and my little thought ice cubes were really looking like bad shit and not looking like just water. But I was kind of onto it, so even though I didn't see it then, I knew I would see it soon, and that was enough to see me through with relative ease, I suppose. It gets easier and easier to not get caught up in real-seeming thought taking temporary form and looking like reality, but it's definitely not a linear journey, and I'm right here with you, okay? Right, how's Anxious Alice doing? Well, she's really starting to hate that name now. I explain that it's like a cute moniker, like Fat Tony from The Simpsons. But she's still not happy. Alice kind of likes the distinction between natural and learned thought that we've been talking about, but she could see that her brain wanted to figure out the distinction and apply it to all sorts of things. Alice saw that was the learned thinking bit at play. It came with a slightly uneasy feeling, which was letting her know, oops, not a thing for you to figure out, Alice. Wrong tool, Alice. Alice will sit with this and lightly explore it. Okay, Alice, thank you. Okay, so the main things I'd love you to take away from this episode is that, firstly, everything is thought. All experience is thought created. Our lives are a non-stop stream of thought. Understanding the nature of thought is the real game changer when it comes to getting the things we want in life, which includes freedom from anxiety and worry and experiencing more peace, calm, joy, and ease. When we come to notice the way that natural thought feels, effortless thought, thoughtless thought, the way life in that space just unfolds with ease, and we come to see that good ideas and solutions and all that nice shit comes from there, we lose our taste for rolling around with our analytical, conditioned thought. When we come to see our bad, shit, icky feelings as a prompt, as an alert, as a notification that we are, oops, innocently and mistakenly using our learned thinking for the wrong job, we are misusing the tool, it's easier to drop it. Now, if you aren't seeing this yet and you're not really getting a feel for what I'm saying and you kind of feel frustrated, then stop trying. Relax as best you can. That frustrated feeling is letting you know that you're using the wrong tool. So, as best you can, just drop it and stop trying to figure things out. So guess what? Next episode or the one after, I'm not sure yet, I'm doing a Q&A. So send me your questions at hello@siobhanfreel.com via email or DM me on Instagram. At this point, when I'm chatting to clients, they've got a ton of like, well, what about this? And what about that? And you said this, but what about this? And I don't get it, blah, blah, blah. So let me know what you're thinking and I'll answer them on the show. Okay, it's the end. Thanks for listening. See you next time. Thank you so much for listening. This is the part where I ask you to share, review, and subscribe to the show. So if you go and do that, I would absolutely love it. If you have thoughts or questions or insights about this episode or anything really, come and share them with me on Instagram at Siobhan Freel or visit me at siobhanfreel.com. See you next time.